ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from the 10th Canto, chapter 72, text 15 through 17, all about the slaying of the demon Garasimha. So I'll read through 15 and 16, and we can all chant together on 17. Uvajitam Garasundam Nipate Jayato Hari Aho Payam Samhivaja Udaro Yam Uvacha. Translation by the disciples of Yudhisthira. When King Yudhisthira heard that Garasimha remained undefeated, he set to pondering, and then the primeval lord, Hari, told him the means Uddhava had described for defeating Garasimha. Bhimaseno Arjuna Krishna Ambrahma Linga Dharastaya Jagmur Giri Rajam Tata Indrihadrata Sito Jata. Translation. Thus, Bhimasen, Arjuna, and Krishna disguised themselves as Brahmins and went to Giri Raja, my dear king, where the son of Brihadratha was to be found. De gatva tithya velayam griheshu vihamedinam brahmanyam samayacheran Najanya Brahmalingana Degatrachitya Velayam Griheshu Grihamedinam Brahmanyam Samayacharan Najanya Brahmalingana Degatva Chitya Velayam Griheshu Grihamedinam Brahmanyam Samayacheran Rajanya Brahmalingana.
Ladies.
Today, that we are going, at this year, for receiving uninvited guests. There I am, at the appointed hour, Yeshu, in his residence, and Grihamedinam, from the religious household. Brahmanyam, respectful to the Brahmins. Samayacharan, begs. Rajanya, the kings. Brahmalingana, appearing with the signs of Brahman. Translation. Distinguished as Brahmins, the royal warriors approached Jarasandha at home during the appointed hour for receiving guests. They submitted their entreaty to their dutiful householder, who was especially respectful to the Brahmin class. Please repeat. Disguised as Brahmins, the royal warriors approached Jarasandha at home during the appointed hour for receiving guests. They submitted their entreaty to that dutiful householder, who was especially respectful to the Brahminical class. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, King Jarasandha was a very dutiful householder, and he had great respect for the Brahmins. He was a great fighter, a Kshatriya king, but he was never neglectful of the Vedic injunctions. According to Vedic injunctions, the Brahmins are considered to be the spiritual masters of all other castes. Lord Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhimasen were actually Kshatriyas, but they dressed themselves as Brahmins. And at the time, when King Jarasandha was to give charity to the Brahmins, and received them as guests, they approached. Om Jnana Samarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhukale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Swamanam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tupada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vikam Kam Sivam Sadvaitam Sabhajutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Saitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vichitam Vikamsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jitakate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskite Sapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Vamsha Kopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnevo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vrittanaya Sadhunam Vinishchaya Chadish Kutam Dharma Sutra Payasaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. So Krishna comes at different times to protect and enliven the devotees, to destroy miscreants and uphold religious principles. And we know that Krishna also likes to come and glorify his devotees. It is, we are so much glorifying Srila Prabhupada this year, his anniversary of his 50th anniversary of coming to America, the most wonderful benediction on the world in America. So, how many of you are familiar with the story of Jarasandha? Or better, how many are not familiar? Anyone not know that story? So I just wanted to go over some recap of his position and where he was coming from, what he was doing, and why they had to go now and kill Jarasandha. So there was a king, Brihadratha. He was the king of Magadha, which is the Bihar area. And he had two wives, which are twin princesses of Kashi. He was very content, famed king, but he couldn't have any children, so he was very frustrated. And then he gradually approached a great sage in the forest, Chandra Koshika. And that rishi took pity on him and gave him a special benediction. He gave him this wonderful mango that could be shared with his queen to bring a son. But it said that rishi was somehow unaware that Brihadratha had two queens. So when he took it back to the queens, he cut it in half, gave one half to each queen. And proving the benediction true, each queen became pregnant and gave birth. But they gave birth only to one half of a child, right down the middle. One leg, one arm, one eye. So when the king saw this, he was totally upset, disturbed. He thought it was useless child. So he took them and threw them in the forest, these two parts. He felt they were not viable, they weren't going to survive. But it so happened that this child somehow was crying, and there was a demon, Jara, in that forest. And she heard that crying, and normally demons kill women, but she took compassion that it was just a tiny baby. And she saw there were two halves, but somehow they were alive. And by her mystical magic, she combined them. And the child became one. And then she brought him back and presented him back to King Brihadratha and explained what had happened. So the father, the king, named him Jarasandha. So this is named after Jara the demon, and Sundha he puts back together. So Jarasandha, he was a very famous and very powerful king. And he showed that power over many kings throughout the area. He was crowned the emperor of Magadha. And finally, he wanted even more and more power, so he performed great sacrifice to please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, becoming pleased by his sacrifice, gave him a benediction, very important benediction, that he could not be killed in battle. He would be strong as 10,000 warriors,
and no one could defeat him. So it happens, those who approach Lord Shiva for some worldly benefit are generally very materialistic, demoniac tendencies. And he became close friends with Kamsa. So he was so close with Kamsa that he had two daughters that Jarasandha, and he gave them to Kamsa for his wives. So together they were creating so much havoc and dominating so many kings, as the demons of that time were doing. But then Krishna came to Mathura at the request of Kamsa and killed Kamsa. So that was a great benediction for the inhabitants of Mathura, but the wives of Kamsa were very unhappy. And they complained to their father, Jarasandha. So Jarasandha then took it as his personal business, personal determination to wage war upon Krishna and his whole dynasty. He wanted to rid the earth of that dynasty. So he came and attacked. But Krishna cannot be defeated. So Krishna and Balaram in Mathura, the kings of Mathura, they came out and protected the city, and they killed all the soldiers, everyone. So many thousands, tens of thousands of soldiers were killed. And the only one left standing was Jarasandha. So he was very depressed. He thought himself so powerful. And Krishna actually tied him up and captured him and then released him. So Jarasandha was very disturbed. But he went back, and because he was a demon, he had many friends and relatives that were also demons, and they encouraged him that, oh, you just had some bad luck. It was not your day, so you were defeated. But go and try again. Surely you will defeat Krishna and become, and rid the world of the Vrishnis. So, again, he came, and Krishna and Balaram again defeated them. And this went on not once, not twice, but how many times? How many? 17 times. And each time Krishna killed the entire army. And each time he brought a bigger army. And Krishna wiped them all out. You'd think he would get the lesson, but he didn't. And we were reading this some months back, the story of Jarasandha, because he prepared to attack an 18th time. He thought, surely I have the biggest army ever. I will win this time. I will defeat Krishna and all his soldiers, all his dynasty, and I will take over his kingdom. But Krishna got word he was coming. Because I think Jarasandha, he threw some big spear up in the air. A spear? It went like 600 or 700 miles in the air. It landed outside of Mathura. It was a challenge. Okay, I'm coming. So Krishna, he didn't want his family and citizens to be disturbed anymore. So he immediately created a whole kingdom in the sea, Dwarka. It's something like 69 square miles. And it was impenetrable by any two-legged creature. no one with two legs could get into that kingdom. It was in the sea, it was designed by Vishvakarma, protected on all sides. No one could come and attack. But we read that someone was coming to attack Krishna and the Vishnus, and that was before Jayasundar came, somebody else came, and that was Oyavana. So there's a whole story we read about how Krishna ran away from the battlefield. Famous Krishna running away from the battle. When a king does that, he's considered a coward. He's considered unqualified to be king. But Krishna just didn't want to fight with this Kaliyavan, who was a Malecha. He would only fight with him. It was Malecha. He ran away, and then he arranged for his devotees to kill him. Demon cave, he opened his eyes, toasted him. But then, after that was finished, Jarasandha was still coming, and he's coming after Krishna, so Krishna had to run away. And he didn't want them to attack Mathura and people there anymore, so he ran away, taking Jarasandha far away. Jarasandha left Mathura and chased Krishna. And chased him, Balaram Krishna went way up this mountain, very high mountain. And Jarasandha thought, I've trapped him. So he created a big forest fire around the whole mountain, burned the whole mountain. And he thought, Krishna is finished. I burned him up. Can't get out of here. But Krishna and Balaram actually did get out of there. They jumped off the mountain. Some 80 some miles, right? Jumped off that mountain. Because Krishna had some other things to do. He's like, I don't have time to fight this guy. I've beat him 17 times. I don't have enough time to fight. I've got to go save this meeting. I'm not wasting any more time in this fight. So he took care of rescuing this meeting and married her. And somehow we're back here at this setting. Jarasandha thought he had killed him. And now we have heard that there was some plan made by Uddhava. But he doesn't say what the plan was. So I did a little research and found that in the Mahabharata it's described what Uddhava's plan was. So Uddhava said, here's the plan. The invincible king Jarasandha is as strong as 10,000 elephants. Indeed, other powerful warriors cannot defeat him. Only Bhima is equal to him in strength. He will be defeated by an equal opponent in duel, not when he is leading his 100 military divisions. Now Jarasandha is so devoted to Brahminical culture that he never refuses requests from Brahmins. Bhima should go to him disguised as a Brahmin and beg charity, and thus he will obtain single combat with Jarasandha. And in your presence, Bhima will no doubt kill him. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva act only as your instruments in cosmic creation and annihilation, which are ultimately done by you, the Supreme Lord, in your invisible aspect of time. So Bhima Sain, Arjuna, Lord Krishna then started for Girivraja, the capital of Jarasandha. They were dressed as Brahmins. They looked wonderful and radiant. And when the people saw them walking on the road, they regarded Jarasandha as already slain. So they knew Jarasandha wouldn't survive this match. So some more interesting details. That upon reaching the region of Magadha, Lord Krishna exclaimed, O Partha, the great capital of Girivraja, standing in all its splendor, just see the outside, the city walls, the vast ocean of cows, This majestic town has a water source that is inexhaustible. Just see the fine mansions symmetrically aligned. Indeed, it appears that this city is free from any kind of calamity. Just behold the five large hills that surround the city. They are covered with the cooling shade trees bearing flowers of every scent and color. It was here that the great sage Gautama had his ashram for some time. Due to his presence, this place has become almost a heavenly abode. Even Manu has ordered that the land of Magadha will never be afflicted with drought. Owning such a city, Jarasandha desires to become the emperor of the entire earth. We shall, however, humble his pride by slaying him in single combat. But before entering the city, Bhima and Arjuna decided to pulverize Chaityakya Peak near the city gate. This hill was one of the five that surrounded the city, and it was dear to the inhabitants and also to King Jarasandha. On this hill, King Brihadrath had once slain the cannibal named Rishava and made three drums from the Rakshasa's skin. When those drums were beaten, the reverberating sound echoed for one full month. With their mighty arms only, Bhima and Arjuna leveled the hill to the point where the drums were beaten, indicating their desire to place their feet on the head of their foe. With the power of their arms, they broke down the peak, which was worshipped by the citizens of Giri Raja. So, not only did they go to the kingdom, but they started some devastation. And this devastation was known to Jarasandha. They were Lord Krishna, Bhima, Arjuna chose garlands from one of the shop flower merchants. They decorated their bodies. They put on, their bodies were like trunks of trees, so they were naturally kshatriyas, very powerful, large bodies. And they were smeared with sandalwood paste from another merchant, whose pious activities had now fully fructified. They were attired in robes of various colors and decorated in garlands and earrings, and they approached King Jarasandha's palace. Those bulls among men passed through three gates that were heavily guarded, and the soldiers and men, and they cheerfully entered the palace of King Jarasandha, and the king, seeing these extraordinary personalities, exclaimed, "You are welcome in my kingdom," and he rose to offer them a proper sitting place. He washed their feet with honey and water and offered them gifts of cows and wealth. So, at this time, Arjuna and Bhima remained silent. They didn't speak during the reception. Therefore, Lord Krishna informed King Jarasandha, "Omar, these two Brahmins are in observance of a vow. Therefore, they will not speak until midnight when their vow is completed. You may talk with them at that time." So King Jarasandha then gave his guests some comfortable quarters and retired to his own chambers. Then Jarasandha, who was famous for honoring the Brahmins, even if a Brahmin requested audience at midnight, he would grant it. So therefore, he rose at midnight and approached the quarters of his guests. But despite the strange attire of the Brahmins, he waited on them very respectfully and asked them to take their seats and inquired from them, "It is well known to me that Brahmins observing vows of silence never attire themselves with garlands and fragrant sandalwood paste. So who are you? You are dressed as Brahmins, but your arms bear the marks of bowstrings. You lead me to believe you are Brahmins, but you exude the Kshatriya energy. Tell me truly, who are you? You have broken the peak of Chaityakya Hill, and you have entered my city without fear of royal wrath. The quality of Brahman dwells in his speech, not in his physical prowess. for this destruction of Jayake Hill is not suited to the order you profess. What is your motive in coming to me? And then we will see in upcoming verses what their desire was. Of course, Krishna wanted that Jarasandha be killed, because Jarasandha was planning, after sacrificing all these kings that he was defeating, he captured them, he kept them, and then he would offer them and sacrifice to Lord Shiva. And by those sacrifices, he wanted to become the most powerful emperor in the world. And having done that, he was going to then approach Lord Krishna and his dynasty and defeat them with the earth. That was his determination. So Krishna didn't want another attack. And he also didn't want to kill any more innocent soldiers of Jarasandha. So Krishna took up this disguise because it was the only means to kill Jarasandha. They had to go and get this charity from him, agree to give them whatever they want, and they wanted to fight him one-on-one. So this was the plan. So we find it very interesting. Does anyone aware of any other similar incarnation of Krishna where there was some special benediction that he had to maintain and still kill the demon? Anyone think of one? If not. Nrisimhadev, yes. He and Ravana also, but he had to protect all these special benedictions to honor his devotees and their words. So he was honoring that benediction. But Krishna here is actually cheating Jarasandha. He's coming to kill him. And he's doing it by a tricky means, disguising himself as a Brahmin. Can anyone recall any of the Pandavas that did similar kind of cheating? Yes, Durga. Where? Arjuna went where? I am by Draupadi, yes. But even another one was when he went to Yasmar. Yes, that's true. Yudhisthira had just declared that Ashwatthama, the elephant, was dead in order to be able to kill Dronacharya. And Arjuna also had to disguise himself as a sannyasi in order to marry Subhadra. Very unusual. So Krishna does this sometimes. He tricks us, or tricks people. And sometimes we find that he tricks us in our life. He takes things away that we think we need, we want, that are very important, because he wants to give us something more valuable. So what is that most valuable thing that he wants to give us? Yesha, what do you think? He wants to give us himself, but he doesn't do that very easily. But he likes to make sure that we have nothing else that we want but him. Srila Prabhupada had some experiences like that where he felt that his family, he had to give up his family. And yet, he said, I acquired a greater family. So instead of a few children, now he had 5,000 children. That wasn't easy. It was difficult to sacrifice so much. Krishna took away everything. Even to the point that he had two heart attacks on the boat when we were working. But as Prabhupada said, I came to your country with practically nothing. And now I am more than the richest man in India, Birla. I have 108 houses all around the world. I can go at any time. And in each house, I have one car. And I have so many servants in each house waiting to do whatever I ask. Birla doesn't have that. Who does? He said, so I am the most worthy, but I give it all back to Krishna. Nothing for me. He gives it all back to Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada is so great because he didn't want anything for himself. He wanted to give everything to glorify Krishna, to please Krishna. And we find in our own lives that when we make our sacrifice to give to Krishna, then we get so much more in return. We get more than what we've given up. It may not actually be dollar for dollar, but it may be a material dollar for millions of spiritual dollars, which are far more valuable. We know at the end of life, all these millions of dollars, even a great rich man like Donald Trump, no. What's he going to walk away with? Nothing. All he'll get to keep is the karma he performed to get that in. All that suffering, struggle, that's all he gets to keep with him. That's no advantage. He's going to have to earn that money all over again. But one who spends his endeavors for spiritual pleasure of Krishna, that you take with you. Krishna will appreciate. Krishna will not forget. Krishna will reward. He will give himself. And what is more valuable? Krishna. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna is the source of all opulence. And Krishna is our greatest friend and well-wisher. Who could we want more than Krishna? No. So this is what Krishna is interacting, but unfortunately here Jarasandha, he doesn't want Krishna. He wants to control everything that Krishna owns. He wants to enjoy what Krishna wants. But the devotee wants Krishna. Like Arjuna approaching Krishna before the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna said, you want me or my army? And I will not fight. So Arjuna said, that easy choice. I want only you. I cannot live without you. So that is the heart of a devotee. Devotee gives Krishna himself unconditionally, and Krishna gives himself back to Krishna. And that is the greatest exchange of love, for which we are actually all looking. We're all hankering for that exchange of love. Someone to completely accept us unconditionally. And Krishna is there, waiting and ready to do that. So let me stop here and ask you if you have any questions, comments, you'd like to add anything. Should we come?
Alasanda. A stone asunder. By Krishna, by Kunti Sana, Bhima Sena. So, Jarasandha, he was the only obstacle in that road to sea.
Yes.
Had he not been killed like that, he would definitely have opposed.
Absolutely. He was planning to attack not only the Kurus, but he was planning to attack Dwarka. Anyone else want to make some comments? Yes, even us.
Krishna takes things material away from us. It's very easy after the fact to understand, okay, maybe I needed that to become more spiritual. When Krishna takes spiritual things away from us, sometimes it's a little harder. Like the other day, Narayani Mataji mentioned that devotee who lost her service or puja, and she was very upset about it. But she got immediate satisfaction when she got to worship Radha Krishna deities with somebody else. What happens if that doesn't happen right away? Like something is taken away from us that's spiritual, and we're just saying, you know, be patient. Sometimes it's a little harder to understand or accept that. Can you tell me something about that?
Well, Krishna is a very interesting and complete person. Like the greatest devotees, the gopis, they gave up everything to come and meet Krishna in the forest, at great risk of being discovered, their lives and reputation being ruined. And when they got to the forest, what did Krishna say? He said, why have you come here? Go home. They gave up everything just to be with Krishna. Krishna said, no, go home, go home. Of course, eventually he performed the Rasa dance with them. But Krishna is not a predictable package. You know he'll do this. If I do this, you will do this. Krishna is a person. And Krishna interacts with us very individually. And he shows us what he wants. And it's usually something that we have to struggle to give. Like Prabhupada, he was in Jhansi. And he had a plan to develop a whole center for Krishna consciousness there. And he was preaching, and he was ready to acquire this temple. Thought it was going to be donated. And then, smash, all finished. Somebody else took it, and he had it. Governor's wife. And very discouraging. But Krishna had a bigger plan. Not just one little temple in Jhansi. He wanted him to preach all around the whole world. Even in America, Prabhupada first went to New York, and he had that one room, I think it was in 72nd Avenue. Small room, not even a bedroom. And he had his typewriter there, and some man, and somebody broke in and stole his typewriter. Oh, I'm very discouraged. He would go sometimes and check the schedule when the boats were going back to India. Thinking, wow, this doesn't work out. What will I do? But he stayed. And we know from there everything happened. Once he got to 26 2nd Avenue, devotees started stepping forward. Not the expected people. Not the well-to-do, those with money that could support him and help him carry out his mission. His godbrothers didn't help him. They didn't send money. They didn't send people. Nothing. But Prabhupada did it anyway. Something greater. Not just one little temple in New York, even. but he opened up all around the world. So Krishna has a plan for us. And we just have to have that confidence that whatever is happening, Krishna has got a plan and he's working us through it, and we should just agree to surrender to it. Accept it. Know that he's not a vengeful God like some religions suppose, an angry God. But rather, he's our greatest friend, our well-wisher. Yes, ma'am.
When Krishna takes away our unwanted desires, our anattas, we can understand that. But when he takes away something spiritual, that was his actual question. If Krishna takes away something spiritual, it's because of aparad. Nam aparad, Vaishna aparad, Guru aparad. Because that's one thing he will not tolerate. He'll tolerate everything else. Aparad, he will not tolerate. And that's when he takes something spiritual, because the person wasn't qualified to execute that sin.
That is also true. That will also happen. Definitely. Anyone else want to add something? That's a question, anything? All right. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.